It's good to see you all. Thank you for being here. Thank you for tuning in. My name is Dove, and it's always just a gift to get to come together as a church, to share life, to encourage each other in faith, to praise God, and to seek His face, and to hopefully grow in our relationship with Him. And so, I don't know if you guys watched the presidential debate on Tuesday. We tuned it on a little bit and we were watching it, and then our second daughter got a ride home from ballet, and she comes in and she's like, "Oh, you guys are watching this too? We were listening to it on the radio in the car drive home. They sound like us when we're fighting, only worse." It was something else to see two grown men just talk over each other. And there was certainly, I don't know about you, but just this sense of, man, what is going on with our world? There is so much polarization, so much division, animosity, so many challenges. This world just seems so dark. And it doesn't seem like there's a lot of hope in the middle of it. And so I decided I'm going to buy a tropical island in the South Pacific, and I'm inviting all of you, for a small fee, to come and join me on that island, and we're just going to leave this whole mess here, and we will just enjoy paradise. And if any of you start getting too divisive, we'll have to send you off the island, but as long as you don't, you're welcome to come and be a part of that. And I don't know about you, maybe that sounds like a pretty good solution. Or maybe it's time that we all take up arms and create our own, establish something new. And I'm definitely joking on that. I am not even interested in that. I'm actually interested in Tropical Island, but I was joking about that too. But I want to just share today what I feel like what God is asking of us, that we have a call to step into this world that is decaying and full of darkness and to make a difference and to change it and to bring something good to it and to be salt and light in it. So today I want to talk about what that means to be salt and light. And the passage comes from Matthew 5, 13. If you guys have a Bible or a phone, you're welcome to turn to it and check it out. In Matthew 5, Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." And so I feel like that is our call, is to be salt and light. And so today I just want to share that. And so this is my brief outline. I didn't give you many notes. You are welcome to write down whatever on there. Maybe God would say something to you. Maybe God gives you a picture to draw or something, but you're welcome to take notes on it. I just want to go through this outline. The premise that I'm saying is this decaying and dark world needs us. Not just us, but us as instruments of God to be salt and to be light. And I want to look at that. What is the influence of salt? And what does our influence in the world look like as salt? And then the influence of light. What is the influence of light? What does light do? And then Jesus talks about this. Salt needs to stay salty. How do we stay salty? And light needs to shine. It doesn't do much good if it doesn't. So how do we shine? And then lastly, just to really hammer this in, this is what we are in Christ. we are the salt and light. The salt of the earth, the light of the world. We are called to be that through Christ. So why don't we pray and jump into this? So, God, thank you for this morning. And God, I just want to lay before you my burdens, lay before you each of our burdens. Just set them down before you, all the things running through our heads. And thank you for this safe place. Thank you for a place to enter into your presence, to glorify you and tell you that you are our God, you are our King. We receive your love. We love you back. We ask that you would teach us today. We ask that you would help us to connect with what you want to say. Holy Spirit, speak, move. You're the one that uses us. You are the one that makes us salt and light. Have your way this morning. In Jesus' name. All right, so we're going to start with looking at this. This dark world needs us. It needs the people, the followers of Christ, to be salt and light. So the influence of salt, and so I have some salt here. It's amazing. Salt's pretty cheap. I don't know if any of you guys have ever even thought of the cost of salt. But this stuff, like, people have died over salt. This has been a huge influence on life. Salt is a pretty big deal. And so salt in the ancient world, salt had a couple different purposes. And the first purpose is the same as for us. Anybody in here like salt on their food? Yeah. It brings flavor. Salt brings flavor. The cool thing about salt is it not only brings its flavor, but it brings out other flavors. And those of you that cook know that. You add salt and it brings out the sweetness, like, and it brings out some other savory flavors. So salt has this amazing ability to bring flavor. And we were called to bring flavor, to bring beauty and good, to bring joy, to have the work of our hands, to the things that we do, make this world a more beautiful and good place. And that comes in all different expressions. And each of us would express that flavor in a different way. The second thing that salt, we don't really use it as much because we have refrigerators. But in a world without refrigerators, salt is a really powerful preservative, especially for meat. And so rather than it just rotting and decaying, you can preserve it with salt. And in the same way, us as the salt of the earth have an opportunity to help preserve, to bring an influence that preserves things rather than just destroying things, to help care for things, to help bring a sustaining power to this world, to bring vitality, to kind of fight against that decay, the moral decay, and the other decay in our culture. And so we have an opportunity to be salt, to bring love even to enemies, to bring comfort into places where people are grieving, to bring truth. Okay, light. What is the influence of light? Light illuminates things. Light makes things visible. And if we read what Jesus said in Matthew, he says, "Let your light shine so that others could see your good deeds," and not that they would be like, "Wow, those people are so amazing," but that those good deeds would point, they would shine a light to God, that people would see those and glorify God. So our good lives are intended not to exalt us, but they're intended to point people to God, to be like, "Wow, Jesus is amazing. And I see it there. I see it. The light was shined. The light was shined from them. And I saw it pointed to Jesus." I don't know if you guys have seen these pictures at night. I really enjoy these. This is a composite satellite image of a bunch of pictures of the United States, North America at night. And so you can see, at night, you can actually see the cities of of the United States from space. And so the first thing you might notice, this big transition here, there's a lot more people in the east than in the west. Look at all that open space. And it's cool, just looking at these lights, you can see this must be Salt Lake City, Phoenix, here's Denver, Albuquerque, Las Cruces, even made the map, El Paso and Ciudad Juarez together. This light out in the middle of nowhere. And the thought I had, it's kind of cool. You can kind of see the shape. You can see the shape of the country just because of the lights that are shining. And if you were to see all of our lights shining, you would see the image of Jesus right here. Each of our little lights together paints a picture of Jesus that is seen from the satellites, that is seen from the cosmos, that is seen all around us. At least it's supposed to be. And what's cool too is each one of these little lights is actually made of millions of individual lights. And together, they make the entire picture. And so each of us, as we shine a little light of God's goodness into this world, it's painting this huge picture of Christ to others. Okay, so Jesus says the salt is no good if it's no longer salty. What does that mean? So I studied a little bit of chemistry. We should have Chris come up again, be our guest speaker, because how does salt lose its saltiness? Like, how does that happen? What happens if you're cooking something and you put too much salt in there? What do you put to take out the saltiness? Nothing. You can't really do it, can you? Is there like some special thing that will like unsaltify the salt? Not too much, huh? And so what happens to salt, the way salt loses its saltiness, is when it gets diluted. You dilute it. And the danger we have as followers of Christ is to just be diluted by the world. To just become like the rest of the world. To just live our lives for the same goals, the same pleasures, the same focus. And to just be swallowed up in that. Where we no longer shine, we no longer are salty, we're just other people in the midst of the soup. And we lose that flavor. And there's a real call to us to stay true to who God has made us, to not be lost in that, to not give ourselves to the same comforts and passions of the world, but to walk in the world, but to be separate. Here's a couple more kind of clues as to what it means to lose saltiness. This is interesting in Mark 9:50. It says, salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can you make it salty again? Have salt among yourselves and be at peace with each other. When we live at peace with each other as fellow believers, that we are salty. And to me, one of the really sad things of our day is the conflict and the division among churches, among believers. And I think that is, we have lost a lot of saltiness, because rather than just being a unified voice for God, we've wasted a lot of time pointing fingers at each other, arguing with each other, and being divided from each other. And there's a call here to be united. There's a call for us as the Rio Church to be united with our other brothers and sisters in Christ around the city. To speak well of them, to see well of them, to collaborate with them, to work together, to love them. And together we have a voice that is salty in this world. And to, if there is conflict, to work through those things. Even here, you know, conflict is a part of life. And as we work through those things, as we grow closer to each other, as we live at peace, we stay salty for the world, that we could have an influence in the world. and the light needs to shine forth. And I think there's a couple different things that can affect the light shining forth. And sadly, I think the first is us. Sometimes we actually hide our own light from the world. We put our own cover over it. And I think some of those things that stop us from shining our light, one is shame. Who am I? Man, I'm so messed up. What do I have? How could I shine? How could I bring something? Look at me. And so we hide the light. I think another one is fear. Wow, the darkness is so dark and so big. And if this little light of mine shines, it might just get swallowed up. I might get destroyed or beat up or laughed at or... Nah, it's too scary. I think another one is anger. Forget the darkness. I don't care. Let everybody burn in hell. Who are they? All they are is against me. And I think these things that we have inside of us, we can put out the light. And then another place is sometimes the world chooses to try to cover the light. And sometimes people who love Jesus are put in prison and are told they cannot share about Jesus with anyone. I have a friend, he says that he's in Google prison because of the opposition and the attack against him. He's not in a physical prison, but he's in Google prison because he has been slandered and his name has been vilified. And he lives in Google prison. And sometimes that happens. Sometimes we're in places where people will say that we cannot shine the light of Christ. And the cool thing in some of those, even as I was thinking through this, in Luke 21, Jesus says, before all this, they will seize you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and put you in prison, and you will be brought before kings and governors, and all on account of my name. Saying, okay, you're going to be brought before these synagogues, you're going to be thrown into prison, and all because of him. You're going to be taken before judges or governors and told what you can't do. And this is the cool thing about that. And so you will bear testimony to me right there in that prison. And sometimes, Watchman Nee says this, God has the courage to take his greatest ambassadors and put them in chains. And their light can't really shine, but that bowl is getting some serious light. And that prison is getting the serious light of God. And those rulers and those people that are trying to shut this out, they're getting a full blast of the light of Christ. And sometimes when we get shut down, our greatest light is to those that are shutting us down. How will we respond? How will we show the love of God to them? And it goes on to say, make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourselves. For I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. That's super encouraging to me. It's like, even if you totally get shut down, you have a voice right there. And don't worry. God's going to tell you what to say. I don't know what to say. Don't call me. No, I'm just kidding. God will tell us what to say. God will make that light shine right there. Okay, so light needs to shine forth. The other thing I think is really important with light is light has a source. Jesus talks about running out of oil in the lamps. This is a really cute little light here, but as soon as you take the batteries out, it's worthless. It does absolutely nothing. And so, to me, that is when we are connected, like electricity, our power lines are connected to God. If we become disconnected from the source, forget it. God is our goodness. Some of you guys are really awesome people. But if we disconnect you from God, sorry, you're not that good. I mean, you're all right. But God's our power. And I want to highlight just a few of those today. The power of faith. Faith is this crazy confidence that there is a huge God. And God oversees this entire mess. And God knows what's going on. And God is at work in it. And God is able to uphold us. And to have this amazing confidence that cannot be shaken in the power of a great and living God who loves you and will never leave you or forsake you, who walks with you, who gives you words to speak, who empowers your witness, who makes it possible for you to be salt and light. May we never, no matter how dark this world comes, lose confidence in who He is. Because God is our confidence. That faith is unshakable. It is grounded in the evidence and His trustworthiness over the generations and to each of us. Walk with God and you will see His faithfulness more and more. He is trustworthy. Hope. Man, how we need hope. Hope is this joyous anticipation of things unseen. There is good coming. God is bringing all things to a good end. God is working for good. There is hope. We are not on our own. Even in the darkest places, there is the sun coming. Even when the night seems long, there is the dawn. There is always hope. May we continue to hope and put our hope firmly in Christ. He promises good. The other is love. Love is when we actually care about the well-being of someone else. I know we use the word love like, I love ice cream, which just means I desire it, but I want to eat it. So how much do you love it? I don't know. Just, I really love it, and so I want to eat you. That doesn't feel like love. Anyways, so love is when we actually care about the well-being of someone else. We truly care for their good. We get joy when we see something good in their life. We want the best for them. And the power of love, because God has loved us, is absolutely unshakable and is absolutely brilliant. Because in this world where we're born just to love ourselves, when people see a glimpse of love beyond themselves, it is brilliant. It shines. May God's love in us, because He first loved us, because He loved us enough to sacrifice for us, may our love for others flow from that. May we continue to love. A couple weeks ago, I was sharing just about some rhythms in our lives. I want to continue to encourage each of you to develop those rhythms in your daily life and weekly life, to be able to get Bible input and prayer, and also to stop and rest. It's still a mystery to me that our strength comes from rest, in quietness and rest. In trust comes strength. And then also these places where we have an opportunity to give love. And at the core of who we are is receiving God's love and giving God's love. We're the conduit of light. And in those relationships and in our work, those are places where we have an opportunity to be light. I want to tell a little story about Tom. I don't know if you guys had a chance to hear what Tom was kind of digging into this week, but many of you guys know Tom and Jenna. Tom's at work this morning, but this week there was a family in our city, the Rodriguez family, and the dad was driving and got a blowout in his car. And so he tried to get off the interstate between here and Cruces, and a semi from behind hit into their car when he was trying to get off the interstate and piled into the back of the car. And his two kids were in the back, a 5-year-old boy and a 10-year-old girl. And the back of the car just got obliterated. And the 5-year-old son left the hospital with a fractured clavicle and was totally fine. And the 10-year-old girl was in a coma. And so as a chaplain, Tom had the opportunity to go visit them at the hospital. And to me, that's like, I can only imagine, that's like one of the darkest places in life. I mean, that's a really, really dark place. And so Tom had an opportunity to go there. I don't know, there's not really any words you can say, but he had an opportunity to go there and just be light and just be present and be there for them and pray with them and cry with them. And they asked if he was able to and if he would baptize their daughter. And he said he would gladly do that. I'm sure for their sake as much as hers, and baptized her with water on the head and was there for them for 3 days, and he's there again today, just with this family who needs him. And I thought it was such a beautiful picture of just being the light in the middle of darkness, just being there and shining the light of Christ, the hope in Christ, the love of Christ, that faith that we have no idea how or why, but that God is good and he's at work. He will use this for good. And then Tom being Tom, which I admire that he's Tom, he decided to pick up empanadas and pastries for all the nurses on his way to the hospital. And just to be a light, just to let them know that they're appreciated and to care. And we have these opportunities in our relationships. And we have these opportunities in our work to be light. And sometimes it might seem like, I need a bigger hill because my light's not shining very far. And I don't think that's the point. The point is just to let our light shine. And a lot of times it's not even what we say, but how we say it. Just the way we are, that someone would know that they're really loved and cared for. And even in work, a lot of times it's not necessarily what we do, but how we work. What kind of attitude is coming out of us? What kind of flavor? And as we're connected to the love of God, the light that shines out of us, whether we see it or not, is so beautiful. It pierces right into the darkness. And I think we can take it for granted. This is a place of love. But in a dark world where there's not a lot of love, sometimes a little taste of love is like a breath of fresh air. And sometimes just to pray for somebody, sometimes there was a guy in my neighborhood, I asked if I could pray for him, and he started tearing up. I don't think anybody had ever asked him, can I pray for you? Just somebody that would care for him. And it might seem so simple, but we have something so profound in the faith in God that we have, in the hope of his goodness that's unseen, in the future that's coming, and continues to come along the way, and in the love that he's given us that we get to share. And so we are salt and light in Christ. We were made that way by Christ. We were invited into this journey. We're invited into, God has this big story going on, and we were living in this little tiny story, and I was the center of my little story, and you were the center of your little story, and your little story was pretty cool. I never really thought mine was that cool, but I enjoyed it. I was the hero, and we've been invited into this bigger story, which is God's story, and we get to be a part in it. And Jesus invited us, come follow me. Come be a part of that. And so
as followers of Jesus, as members of his body, we were meant to influence our world. We were meant to have an influence in this dark world. We are supposed to be the salt and light. I just want to highlight that. Even if your world seems really small, be a light right there. If your world is really big, where you have a big influence, you have an opportunity to influence lots and lots of people, be a light there. Be salt there. It might be that the only influence you have is just with a little brother. Be a light there. That light shines. That light paints this picture of God. Did you see that? There's a God. Did you see that? Did you see that kid loved his little brother? That's incredible. There must be a God. There must be. That shines a light. In whatever world God has given us, and may he give us more and more influence, but whether you have a ton of influence or just a little tiny sphere, may you be salt and light in that place, connected to God, sharing faith and love, shining as a star. May his light shine through each of us. That is my prayer. May it not be covered. May we not hold back. Let's pray. God, thank you for what you've done in us. Jesus, I thank you that you have purchased us out of the little story into this huge adventure with you. God, I ask that you would give me the courage to say yes to the places where you invite me to shine. I ask that you would give me the courage to say yes when I'm afraid and ashamed and I don't care. God, I ask that you would fill us with faith and hope and love. I ask that you would shine our light into the darkness. God, I know we can't change this whole world, but I think we can make a huge difference if we all shone like stars. Lead us into that, God. May this little light of mine shine. In Jesus' name, amen.